By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine. By the grace of Allah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. If you can please recite after me. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani channel, I welcome you back to our program. The name of the program is Rise and Shine. Spending our morning with Madani channel. What benefits do we gain by spending our morning with Madani channel? Now, no doubt about it, it seems like, you know, the children have gone back to school, you know, the new term has started again, my dear seven brothers and viewers of Madani channel. But no doubt, inshallah, we shall continue with our program. Yes, it is Rise and Shine. Now, my dear seven brothers, within this program, those of you who may watch this program regularly, you will already know that we have a new guest each and every single day. We have a new topic each and every single day. We have a reminder, a daily reminder, as well as a daily hadith. And then we have something special for the rest of the day. And what is this? Today, inshallah, our segment is not health is wealth, but today it is a department of Da'wat Islami. Now, Da'wat Islami, we have, well, approximately 106 departments. But more of that later, my dear son brothers. As you know, let's begin our day by listening to the verses of the glorious Quran. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir أصحاب الجنة هم الفائزون. لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون يذكرون هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم هو الله الذي لا إله إلا الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء حسنا يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم صدق الله العظيم
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My ladies and gentlemen, brothers and viewers of Rise and Shine, we have our guest for today, who is none other than, mashallah, again with a shiny green Imam Ash-Sharif. It is our respected Ammar Bhai, a student of Dauratul Hadith Sharif, meaning a last year student. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him success and make him a ba'amal alimideen. Mashallah, Azza wa Jalla. Again, good to have you, Ammar Bhai. Jazakallahu khairah for coming. Let's turn to the da'at of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, for this, we have, mashallah, our beautiful wakar Bhai. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Salli ala nabiyyina. صلي على محمد صلي على كريمنا صلي على कुछ ऐसा कर दे मेरे किरदिगार आँखों में कुछ ऐसा سکر دے میرے کردگار آنکھوں میں، کچھ ایسا کر 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 دے میرے کردگار آنکھوں میں، شن
محبوب کا جلوہ نظر آئے، اس نور مجسم کا سراپا نظر آئے، اور اے کاش
گنبد والے منظور دعا کرنا،
جب وقت نزاع آئے دیدار نہ کرنا، اے
ساری بہار آنکھوں میں دیکھنے کی ہے ساری بہار آنکھوں میں بس ساتھ بصیرت
جس مت سے
Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear son and brothers and viewers of Madinah Shalom, mashallah, a refreshing naat, mashallah, naat e Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. The thick is time.
I think so. I think this is where you usually sort of move on to your topic anyways.
Allah. Brothers and viewers of Mandir Shalom, yes, the time has come to introduce our topic. What is the topic for today? It is none other than, you know, something we speak about time after time, time and time again. Yes, my dear brothers and viewers of Mandir Shalom, the topic for today is time itself. Time management, how to manage your time. Let's hear from Ammar Bhai. Go on then, Ammar Bhai. Start us off today.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I think, you know, this whole concept of time management, there are a few ways to look at it. Because firstly, each and everybody has the same amount of time in a day. So you can't really manage time.
Right.
Because you get the same amount every single day. What it actually comes down to is managing yourself in order to utilize that time best. So in one sense, yes, there's the time management and you say, you know, you manage your time well, but if we actually look at it, it actually comes down to managing yourself. Because if you manage yourself better, that's when you utilize the time. Otherwise, time, everybody has the same amount of time in a day. So time management.
This is an important part, Ammar Bhai. Not everybody has the same amount of time. This is what some people are realizing. You'll have a king, a president, you'll have a slave, a layman, a normal worker. They both have the same amount of time. You can have, you know, an athlete, he has the same amount of time. You can have a student, a teacher, they have the exact same amount of time. No matter ministers, you know, ambassadors, whoever they are, everybody has the same amount of time. Now, as you mentioned that, yes, everyone has the same amount of time, but you can, in a way, increase your time or decrease it. For example, if you're going to be sleeping 12 hours a day, some people even sleep, you know, up until 13, 14 hours. Now, they will have the same amount of time, meaning productive time, as those individuals who sleep 4, 5, 6 hours. So time is strange, isn't it? Time's strange. But yes, we all have the same amount of time, yet in a way, we don't.
And when we look at, for example, the glorious Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the oath of anything, you know, normally when we converse, when we take an oath of for anything, We usually do it to make our point stronger, like, you know, so you got to believe me.
Yeah.
I swear down, as it's normally said. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the oath for something, it's usually to show the greatness of that thing.
Allah.
And time itself, you know, this is when we find in Surah Al-Asr, Wal-Asr. So there's an oath mentioned by the time. There are multiple interpretations with regards to if it's referring to a particular time, or is it time in general. But the fact that the oath of the time has been mentioned, the scholars have pointed out that this itself shows how great the blessing of time is. And then, you know, we find innal insana lafi khusr, that indeed man is in loss. So how is he in loss? The mufassirun, the commentators have said that it means that his life is passing and his life's getting shorter every single day, but he's busy wasting it in useless activities, busy wasting it in futile activities which aren't going to benefit him in the world and particularly in the hereafter. So that's why he's in loss, because he has a limited amount of it. In reality, he has a limited amount of time, but he's not utilizing even that limited amount of time properly.
Subhanallah, I think we need to utilize our time properly as well, Amarba, because there's something we missed. Everything has its time, doesn't it? You know, organization. But listen, brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, each and every single day, we have a new image, a new picture. I think it's time to see that picture, Amarba. Let's take a look at this picture, my dear brothers and viewers of Madani Channel. What does today's picture, what does this show? This shows, you know, there's some men, they are, you know, putting up some paintings, beautiful paintings. These paintings are full of life. Again, twins, dear Barbe. You speak about the twins.
Or at least they dress the same. I know the hair is not the same. But.
Right, so, well, good point there. Anyway, so these two people, what they're doing, some images, you know, some pictures, paintings. These paintings are full of life itself, aren't they? You know, beautiful greenery, you know, beautiful trees. It looks like some sort of jungle, rainforest even. Well, that might be going a bit far, but, you know, beautiful, isn't it? Beautiful scenery. So what is this picture trying to show? There's also something else behind there. You know, there's some, you know, machinery, is, you know, some sort of factories, etc. And those factories are letting off smoke, it seems. You know, the sky itself has gone black, or is it just dark? There's quite a few things to take a look at. Have you had a good look at it, Amarba?
Yes, I've had a pretty decent look at it.
Coming back to, you know, time. Amarba, sorry, you were...
So, I was mentioning with regards to utilizing the time, you know, the Quran mentions itself. So, at the end of a person's life, you know, when a person's about to pass away, there's either, there's usually, to be honest, even like, you know, we hear the scholars, they say that even the most pious of people, they still regret the fact that they did not carry out more good deeds. And particularly for a Muslim,
so
you know,
this is even, forget the end of the life, this is the people of Jannah themselves.
The people of paradise who are promised, you know, no regret, no sadness. So, I think before we even get on to the topic of the sort of activities that we can do to better utilize our time, even before that, we need to realize, particularly for a Muslim, you know, time has everything. Like, there's a stipulated and a fixed time for his salah, for his prayers. It's between this time and this time. You've got to have your prayer within that. You can't do it before time, but you can't do it after the time's finished as
this
well.
This is brilliant, isn't it? Islam itself, it teaches us, doesn't it? You know, punctuality. Everything, you know, has a time to it. You know, salah time, if you are, for example, right now in the United Kingdom, I'm talking about, I'm not going to say right now, it's this time, and somebody across the world thinking, I thought I'm reading such and such salah. But my dear Islamic brothers, right now, for example, in the United Kingdom, when is the time for Zuhr salah, then an individual, if he was to pray his Asr salah, then his Asr salah is not done. Why? Because it's not the time to pray his Asr salah. So, you know, even in terms of Hajj, if somebody was to think, I'm going to go now and I'm going to go do my Hajj, you know, nice and easy, it's cheap now, isn't it, Amar bhai? You know, I'll be paying 5-6 grand later, I'll just pay 2 grand, well, 1 grand or so now, and that's all it costs.
Yeah.
1 grand, that's the difference, subhanAllah. A massive difference. Anyway, somebody was to think, yeah, I'm just going to go do Hajj now, Amar bhai. What would you say to them?
So once again, now, there's a fixed time for and a fixed season for Hajj. So, you know, Islamically as well, we can go and do Umrah at any point, but Hajj is only in those fixed days where it takes place. And likewise, to be honest, you wouldn't be probably granted entry to those areas which you need to be at for Hajj as well, most likely.
Oh, that's true, because Allah is bored off. Well, anyway, am I right coming back to time?
But either way, even if you were allowed, it would not be accepted, because Hajj has its fixed dates.
Yeah, you have to
likewise,
be there.
You know, our Friday prayers, Jumu'ah. So Jumu'ah, we have it on the day of Jumu'ah, on the day of Friday. So that's a particular prayer for our Eid Salah. The starting of Ramadan, the ending of Ramadan. So, you know, all throughout the whole year, we have time which is fixed for a particular thing. Through our daily life, we have time fixed for a particular thing. And this teaches us to also do the right thing at the right time. Don't get too ahead of yourself, but don't fall behind. And another thing that we don't do in our day, most of the people, to be honest, you know, even the viewers of Madani Channel, they can ask themselves, scheduling, deciding, what am I going to do at this particular time? Because a lot of the people don't do that. And
Are you saying everybody should have a schedule? They should make some sort of timetable?
Yeah, at least to a certain extent. Because what happens is, if we leave things to a chance, like I'm planning on reading something, and I say, well,
so you have a schedule, Amar bhai?
Yeah, at least a rough outline.
What's your rough outline? What's your schedule?
So for me, when I wake up for Fajr, after that, usually, after having prayed Fajr, I'd maybe recite some Quran for a while. And then, this is obviously before Fajr, I'd wake up quite a bit early so I can have my shower freshen up and everything. Then I pray my Fajr. Usually, after having recited some Quran, I make myself some breakfast. And then, now I'm trying my best nowadays. Usually we come in a car towards Jamiatul Madina.
Right.
So, I get out.
You've been
before
watching the Monday Health as well.
I've been sort of trying to walk.
I think
so
you're only a 2 minute walk away.
No. I live at quite a distance, like it's about 15 minutes.
All right.
15 minutes. So I've been trying to walk. Yeah. So that's one thing. Now that I get that in, so before I get to class, I've kind of had my blood, you know, pumping and flowing, because I've walked or sometimes even jogged a bit. And then class, my class schedule is 8 to 1.
You jog into class, thing. You must be sweating in class.
So they, you know, not the full way, but you know, just to get that blood pumping, some fresh. So. And this is an important thing in the morning as well, because otherwise, like, if you just wake up and just wash your face and just kind of turn up to class, you probably would still feel that, you know, even though you've slept and stuff, you'd feel that laziness and sort of, you wouldn't be that attentive.
Yeah.
But now from 8 to 1 is my class time. So then after that, I go, then I have specific hours for a few things, like, for example, preparation for Madani Channel when I'm wanting to come on, I need to prepare. And personal study, likewise studying for my class. So I have a fixed amount of hours, like from this time to this time, I'm only doing this.
Right, some may feel, for example myself, I remember there used to be a time I used to have a schedule, now I don't run by a schedule.
I think the reason being
is because I don't like to restrict myself.
Mm.
I like to be free. I have tasks, everyone has their own way, don't they?
Mm.
So what I do is I have tasks. For example, if I know I wish to read such and such books, and I've given myself 2 months to read that book, or these books, then what I'll do is, I'll try to finish those within a week or so, then I can relax for the rest of the time.
Yeah, what you still have is at least a rough outline, because you have an idea of what you're doing.
Yeah.
This is where we fail.
What I find is, I do not having a schedule, don't like some people, they make a schedule, strict schedule. I think that just restricts you rather than...
Restricts you in one sense, and also if you cannot live up to it, you start to feel bad, like, you know, I'm really... bad at this. So it does have that side as well.
So basically,
definitely.
It just depends what works
but
for you.
Yeah, like I said, at least you want to have a rough outline of what you want to do. And what happens though, if we leave things to a chance, like if I want to read something and I'm like, when I get the time during the day, I read it. That time usually never comes, because I'm leaving it to a chance. If I have a rough sort of an idea, like around about 5 o'clock, or you know, around about this time, I'm going to be reading this. Even if it's not to the minute or to the second, but I have a rough idea, I'd probably have a better chance of actually reading that than if I left it whenever I get the time. Because you never get the time. You make the time. You make out the time.
SubhanAllah, that's brilliant, because it's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ni'matani maghboonun feehima kathirun minan nas. That there are two ni'mas, two benefits by which people are deluded. You know, these two benefits, they have deluded the people. نِعْمَتَانِ مَغْبُونٌ فِيهِمَا كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ. Many people have become deluded due to them. What are they? One is as-siha, good health. Why we think, you know, we're always going to remain strong and, you know, have muscles and whatnot. And the second is al-firagha, free time. Why? Because we think we have free time. But in actual fact, there's no such thing as free time. And people say, yes, we are wasting time. You're not wasting time is what you need to understand. Time is wasting you, and that's exactly what happens. Time is not going to wait for you. You know, time is not dependent upon you. Time is going to continue going. But it depends whether you are going to make the most of that time or whether you are going to leave it.
And you know, that you said about free time, like obviously that's mentioned in the hadith, but if we look at it even from a general perspective, when we have some free time, as we'd call it, like we don't really have anything that we're busy with.
Right.
So then, if we're in a situation like that, we could listen to hundreds and hundreds of talks regarding the importance of time. We would not take it on board. And this is what's happening, like, you know, when we hear again and again the importance of time, you need to value your time. Because we don't really have any healthy activity which we can busy ourselves with, so we don't really take on board the advice. And we sometimes think, you know, this is a bit too much, it's a bit too extreme. The reason being is because we haven't really implemented or at least, you know, sort of integrated some good activities into our own lives, healthy activities. So the first thing we need to look at is what can I dedicate my time to? Because until I have something that I'm going to dedicate my time to, my time's going to continue to be used the way I'm using it right now. So first thing we need to look at is there something that I can dedicate my time to? So if we don't have anything in particular, why not come up with something? Why not, you know, challenge yourself to start to memorize the Quran and become a hafiz, inshallah, or enroll into, for example, Jamiat al-Madina, become an alim deen. Or, you know, a good healthy activity. If we can first bring that into our own life, then we'll start to see the actual importance when we have a good target ahead of us. Before that, if we don't have an activity to busy ourselves with, we just won't realize the importance of time. And this is the bit that we're missing. We don't have a good amount of activities that we could pursue, that we could, you know, goals that we could try to achieve. So because of that, we're just continuing to use our time on a daily basis, you know, on social media, on this, on that, and just kind of sleepwalking through life, as we'd say. So that's one important aspect of it. I think another thing that we need to keep in mind with regards to time is that when we look at, for example, the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we actually find that he even had sort of a schedule to work by. Like he had a certain amount of time dedicated for his worship, a certain amount of time dedicated to spend with his family, and a certain amount of time dedicated to meet with people. So at least some sort of an outline we need to have in order to, you know, and these aren't new things. These are things that we can all, you know, derive from the seerah, from the blessed life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Everything has its own time, doesn't it, Amar Bhai? You know, brilliantly put. My dear seven brothers, you know, even throughout our day, especially, you know, for our children, and this is something, in fact, I wish to speak about, Madrasatul Madina. Why? Because unfortunately, Amar Bhai, what's happening now is we've stopped sending our children to the masjid. Before we do go into that, my dear seven brothers and viewers of Madina channel, we have a documentary for you, a package of Madrasatul Madina. Let's take a look at this. Let's have a look at our Madrasatul Madina. This is one of the many departments of Dawat Islami. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, we thank you, Allah. We thank you, Allah. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. We thank you, Allah. We thank you, Allah. The world, the sun, the moon, the stars, let us learn what they are. The world, the sun, the moon, the stars, let us learn what they are. We thank you, Allah.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. Ladies and brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, you are watching Rise and Shine. Inshallah, we shall be listening to and even seeing one of the many departments of Da'wat Islami, and this is the Madrasatul Madina. In this Madrasatul Madina, Alhamdulillah, Azzawajal, children at the tender age of 5 years, they come and learn how to recite the Quran, the Arabic phonetics, even the fundamentals of the deen, how to perform wudu, how to perform ablution, and also recite the salah. To find out more, let's continue on our journey in exploring this Madrasatul Madina.
The moon, the star, let us learn what they are. We thank you, Allah. We thank you, Allah.
We are currently in our Madrasatul Madina, which is located in Bradford 3. Alhamdulillah, Azzawajal, the students, when they do arrive to the madrasa, they begin by first congregating, listening to the Quran, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, followed by reciting the Shajara Sharif. Let's get a glimpse of this Dua-i Madina.
We must be thankful day and night for all the joys He blessed us with. We thank you, Allah. We thank you, Allah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الناس, ملك الناس, إله الناس, من شر الوسواس الخناس, الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس, من الجنة والناس. صدق الله العظيم.
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله. الصلاة السلام عليك يا حبيب الله. يا إلهي رحم من ما مات فاك واسطه. يا رسول الأكرم جاه هناك واسطه. عشق احمد میں عطا کر چشم تن سوجج کر. یا خدا الیاس کو رحمت رضا کے واسطے.
ہر صحابی نبی
جنتی
صدیق اور عمر بھی
جنتی
عثمان اور علی
جنتی
فاطمہ اور علی
جنتی
حسن اور حسین بھی
جنتی
جنتی جنتی جنتی. What's our مدنی مقصد؟
I was sent to inform myself and the people of the entire world. Inshallah.
We thank you, Allah. We thank you, Allah. All this grace, the bounties of Allah, He has granted to us.
Alhamdulillah, Azzawajal, we've just seen how the students of this Madrasatul Madina, on the one hand, they've come to their Madrasatul Madina, taken their shoes off, and then immediately made their way to perform their Dua-i Madina, meaning to perform Dua after having listened to the Holy Quran. Now let's visit each and every single class, inshallah, and speak to the teachers and also gain an insight as to what the students really are learning. Follow me.
The world, the sun, the moon, the star, let us learn what they
are. Alhamdulillah, Azzawajal, my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, this is one of the many classes of this Madrasatul Madina in Bradford. Alhamdulillah, as you have seen, students have arisen, and no doubt with their imamah, she is looking beautiful, they are shining also.
Thank you, Allah. We thank you, Allah. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. We thank you, Allah. We thank you, Allah.
Before we do move on, let's listen to the qiraat of a student. Let's ask them a few questions. What it is that they learn? Here, mashallah, we have Brother Ismail, who is at the age of 9 years. Let's listen to him recite the Qa'idah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم من كتاب ينأونا.
Good. What rule is being applied here in من كتاب?
There is ikfa rule, and there is a nun sakin which you have to do gunain. And then there's the kaf, which is obviously part of the ikfa letters.
Here, alhamdulillah, azzurul, we have Huzaifa, who's 8 years old. Let's listen to Huzaifa recite the qaida.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Mim ha zulmah fa wa bishu mahfu wa zayvin mahfuzin.
This is Huzaifa reciting the qaida. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him success.
Thank you, Allah. We thank you, Allah. Alhamdulillah.
After seeing the students recite the Quran, listening to them, and then also interviewing their teachers, we've come to the head teacher.
This is one of the branches, 28 branches in the UK, and one of the importance of this branch next to Jamiat al-Madinah, alhamdulillah, we benefit a lot being close to Jamiat al-Madinah. Now, round about, we've got 108 students. This madrasa is for boys only, and we've got round about 108 students currently studying at this madrasa.
MashaAllah, so you mentioned it's a boys only madrasa to Medina, so which means we also must have a girls one close by, which is not far from here within BD3 itself. But MashaAllah, 108 students you have here. You also mentioned that you are close to the Jamiat al-Madinah and you are gaining benefit. I did realize that when MashaAllah, well, possibly every teacher we saw was actually also a student of Jamiat al-Madinah, MashaAllah. So on the one hand, they're becoming scholars, on the other, they are also teaching students to also enhance their teaching ability and enhance their own knowledge. So you have 108 students, mashallah, which is, you know, seems quite a lot. How many teachers do you have?
6 classes and 6 teachers.
DBS, checking, etc. Mashallah, I always also see behind us, he has a medical kit. So mashallah, very professional setting, which is brilliant, and I'm sure we also find in every one of our madrasas around the country. But dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madrasa Channel, due to the lack of time, we cannot give too much more, but no doubt there is much. How can you benefit from this, dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madrasa Channel? You too, go out and learn how to recite the Quran, even join one of our Madrasatul Madinas. So alhamdulillah, we have seen our Madrasatul Madinah. Imagine the impact this is having with throughout the entire world. Internationally, alhamdulillah, we have over 3,200 different institutions teaching how to recite the Quran for children, Madrasatul Madinah. Similarly, we have approximately 152,000 students. Just imagine this. We have close to 9,000 teachers in our Madrasatul Madinah. We have 80,000 individuals, approximately more than 80,000, who have memorized the entire Quran, and we have approximately 241,000 who have completed reciting the Quran. But these time, brothers, this is one department of over 100 of Dawat-e-Islami. Let's recite the Rood out of thankfulness. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. MashaAllah, I enjoyed that. You see, I gave some figures there, but I've just taken out the actual figures or those which are closer. You see, because having so many around the world, you can't really get exact figures, can you? Mashallah, we get new people joining every other day. Now, the total number of madrasas we have is 3,287 approximately.
Wow.
Now, I just want you to just think about this a moment. And my bad, let's just say we live next to a huge masjid. Yeah? And even in that masjid, let's just say we have 1,000 students. That's a large number, isn't it? We have 1,000 students. My dear son, brothers, we're not talking about students. You know, we have over 3,000 madrasas, 3,000 institutions just teaching children.
SubhanAllah.
Allahu Akbar, really, subhanAllah. The total number of students, according to what's written here, 152,340.
Allah.
152,000. Alhamdulillah. The number of teachers is 8,612. This is the teachers.
Allah. The students.
SubhanAllah. Those individuals who have completed their hifz. Those individuals who have completed their hifz, 80,731.
SubhanAllah.
80,000. SubhanAllah. And then those completed the nazira, meaning the people who have recited the entire Quran, is 241,028. Allahu Akbar. But these are brothers and views of Manishan, really something to think about. You know, look at the level of work in this one department of Dawat Islami.
And this is not the only department.
And these 106 departments approximately of Dawat Islami. This is one of them. Imagine the costs, really. We have how many institutions? 3,287 institutions. Imagine the cost.
I'm just thinking, like, if an organization was involved in just running madrasas,
that would be a huge organization.
That would be difficult.
You see, Amar, but also, if you think about the teachers get wages. The teachers, and they're being paid, mashallah, a very good wage, a brilliant wage, in fact. SubhanAllah. And the teachers are how many? 8,612. So do not, Allah Akbar, do not, if you're thinking, my dear brothers and viewers, if you're thinking of giving charity, then, but if you are thinking of giving charity and you want to give it to the best place, you know, you want to give it to that place where you know you will get the worth for your money. Really. If you want to give some sort of charity, if you're going to give your zakat to anyone, think about it, really. Who is doing, is there anyone doing this type of work? This is one department of Dawat Islami. And this is not just our madrasas. This is only the madrasa for the children. Because we also teach adults, don't
yeah,
we? We also teach the elderly, etc. This is only for the children, really. Think about it. Only for the children. So, Allahu Akbar, you know, there's no better place. You know, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. That the best of you is whom? Those who learn how to recite the Quran, those who learn about the Quran, and then teach the Quran. This is what these thousands of figures are doing. They're doing the best of works, my dear brothers and viewers of Madan Channel. Shouldn't you pay towards, you know, sponsor a child? You can also sponsor a student, my dear brothers and viewers of Madan Channel. For those of you that do wish to sponsor a student, for those of you that are thinking, you know, you're in two minds, you're in a dilemma, you know, where should we give our zakat, where should we give our sadaqah, you know, we wish to give sadaqah for my parents, you know, for my grandparents, or, you know, your mother, your father, your somebody who's passed away in your family, you know, you wish to give sadaqah on their behalf, then the best place, Allahu Akbar, and this is what I think, and I'm speaking, you know, with honesty, alhamdulillah, and then I think, my dear son, brothers, the best place is give it to Dawat Islami. Really, give it to Dawat Islami. Why? Because they're giving it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on you. You're giving it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on you. You're giving it for reward on you. Then where is the most reward? You know, where is most of the work happening, my dear seven brothers? In fact, we actually have a promo. Let's move to our promo, my dear seven brothers and viewers of Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
It's Dawat-e-Islami, it's a right to rectify the people, it's all over the world.
It is the saying of the beloved and the blessed Prophet, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, sadqa locks up 70 doors of evil. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, Dawat-e-Islami at this moment is working in 107 departments. World.
It's spreading the fragrance of the love of the Prophet.
In these departments, great work is being taken place. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. Let me brief you with a few departments of Dawat-e-Islami. One of the departments is Madrasat al-Madina.
The love of the Prophet, it's all over the world.
Up to now, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, over 240,000 children have finished Nazara Quran and over 80,000 students have finished Hifz in this Madrasat al-Madina, which are taught free of charge. By this time, brothers, Dawat-e-Islami is working in many other departments along with these departments, like working with the deaf, dumb and blind people. Alhamdulillah, Dawat-e-Islami is also working in prisons, also working in colleges, universities, and Alhamdulillah, wherever Dawat-e-Islami can take the works of Deen, Dawat-e-Islami is trying to approach and work in there. In many countries of the world, Alhamdulillah, from UK, America, Canada, South Africa, and many other parts of the world. My dear Islamic brothers, how can you support the works of Dawat-e-Islami? Those who can give their time towards the work of Deen, Alhamdulillah, can give time in any of these departments, try to come forward and give your time. You can support this beautiful organization of Dawat-e-Islami through your sadaqah, through your charity, through your zakat, to donating towards this beautiful movement. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. Who knows, by you donating, that little amount can help support this work of Deen reach every part and every corner of the world.
It's pretty.
May Allah Azza wa Jal give us all the ability to give our charity in the way of His Deen.
Of the Prophet, it's all over the world.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Amaba, what do you have to say on this?
I was just thinking, as you were mentioning the figures, you know, like I said, if an organization was just focused on building madaris, just different institutes, just for the education of the Quran, and they had this many, you'd still think, what a huge organization. But that would be their core focus, their only focus. But Dawat-e-Islami has, you know, so many departments where it's not like this is the biggest department and the others are just small.
My bad, you know when you normally say, you know, well, you got one, we've got 10. Or, you know, we've got 10 times that. Do you understand? Alhamdulillah, we can say it is 100 times that.
100 times that. So, I was just thinking, and then, like Madrasat al-Madina itself, there's a physical location which we've been speaking about. There is also online Madrasat al-Madina. So for those who don't have a Madrasat al-Madina in their locality or a Madrasat al-Madina close by, but they still want
to be...
You see,
do you know this promo which was just played? Do you know what I really like about that? Is he mentioned that wherever that Islami can go, that Islami goes. Subhanallah, so do you know, like those people who can't come, that Islami will go into their houses.
Allah,
you know, online Madrasat al-Madina. There's even online Darsi Nizami.
Yes.
Yes. Now, brothers, what is Dawat-e-Islami not providing? Alhamdulillah, Dawat-e-Islami is providing everything. But how are we providing this? You know, it said that, unfortunately, you know, that a time will come for the Ummah where the Ummah will be dependent upon money. And in this day and age, that's exactly how it is. That without money, you know, it's difficult to do works. And, you know, to be doing works on this scale, on this huge, honestly, you know, this huge scale, no doubt it requires a huge amount of money. Your small contributions, whatever you can contribute, inshallah wa azza jal, will, you know, it'll pay, it'll, you know, it's like droplets of water, isn't it? Where if everyone wants to give their little part, then what do we have? We have a huge pool, a huge ocean, no doubt about it. So whatever, some people maybe think, oh, you know, I can't give all that money, you know, this comes into the millions, literally, doesn't it? Into the millions. So, you know, we can't give that much. We're not asking for millions of money, some brothers. Whatever you are to give, give it to Dawud Islami. You know, how much ever you can give, it depends on your ability. How much ever you are able to give, but please, when you give to Dawud Islami.
With regards to time management, you know, one thing that sometimes, when somebody actually wants to start managing their time, one thing they do is create a to-do list. Like, this is the thing that I'm going to do. But then there's an opposite side to that. Like, you're adding these things that you need to do in your life, you also need to subtract things which you don't do in your
Allah,
life.
Allah,
so there's like a don't-do list, if you want to call it, or not to-do list.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the thing that we don't focus on. So when we're trying to manage our time, when we have a to-do list, we have 100 other distractions, and we've not removed them, we'll keep going towards them. And we won't get this to-do list done. And then, like, once again, you know how we were saying, if you have a schedule and you can't stick by your timetable that you made, and then you feel bad.
It's brilliant you mentioned this, Omar, because most of the things what we are supposed to do, we can't do them. Why? Because we're doing something else.
So be doing what we should not be doing.
Right, what we should not be doing. And then, you know, whatever situation you're in, I think what you need to ask yourself, I remember when I managing my time. I was in possibly my third year when I said, you know, like every 10 minutes, you know, counted. Especially whilst I was in Jamiat al-Madina. Even my break, you know, don't waste it, let's read something. Now, even during that time, what I understood was, I would always ask myself that what I'm doing, now, could I do it quicker? For example, if it's food, if we're going to eat, we're going to the dining room. Now, if we would go there, then we would wait for the food to come. So rather than going and then waiting for the food to come, sometimes I would take a book with me. Oh, sometimes I would just go late. I would go later. Why? In order to, you know, what you need to do is whatever you're doing, and this is what I would think to myself, that what I'm doing right now, should I be doing this? If I shouldn't, then leave it. If I shouldn't be doing it, leave it. And what should I be doing? Let's do that thing.
Yeah, when you start to realize, you know, that where you need to be putting your time into, and like you kind of see this from a business side as well, the successful businessmen, when they identify activities which just aren't worth their time, what do? They'll hire somebody else to do those activities so they don't spend their time doing that because they could be doing things much better. So likewise in life, there's actually another thing. You know, for example, like this is actually a tough one in the sense that it does require effort and it does require time, but it'd be a very interesting one to have. And I have this planned, inshallah, sometime soon I'm going to be doing it, is where you, for about a week, you get a notebook and you just write to the minute everything that you spent your time on during that day. So for example, if you spent your time commuting somewhere, the amount of time you spent, note it down. And throughout the day, all of your activities, even if it's a minute...
Yeah, but that itself would take a long time.
That would take time. But if you do that for about a week, what you could then do is have a look at it and you'd have a very clear picture of the things that are taking up a big portion of your time. And should they be? And you know, if we are, and this is how I think about it.
Something which is, Omar, close to this, but can in a way make up for it, would be the Madina Inamat.
Yes, and I was coming to that. Right. Because, like, if I feel embarrassed having read a week of my, you know, how I've used my time, and after a week I'm feeling ashamed, like, what, I did that. And sometimes, ma'adallah, you know, you might have actually... Like somebody might have spent 2-3 hours just watching a movie or something, and you know, any sort of a sinful activity. So if they've spent 3 hours, 4 hours, and after a week they realize, wait, on a daily basis I'm spending this much amount of time on a sinful activity, and we're embarrassed after a week of this. Imagine on the day of judgment, we're going to be having to read all of our life's doings, you know, what we did through all of our life. So if we're embarrassed after a week, you know, imagine that. How big that embarrassment would
be
when it's a full life.
Allahu Akbar.
And that would be in front of the entire creation. Here you've done it yourself, and you're kind of judging yourself, but there you'll be judged in front of the entire creation. And likewise, so now this is where Madani Namaz comes in, because at least, at the end of the Madani Namaz, we actually have the Madani Namaz card, we actually have a question that what time have you specified to do Fikr Madina.
Yeah.
So once again, it comes to that, like you've got to have a time that you're going to do it at. If you just say, leave it to a chance, it's not going to happen.
What does it mean by Fikr Madina, inshallah? Maybe next week we'll speak about that. I don't know, is that a department of Dawat Islam?
That's Madina a terminology Amal? That we use
it
for
is.
Madani and Amal.
But would itself. It come under a department? Is there like some sort of... I don't know.
It's more to do with the Madani and Amal in particular.
It's one of the tasks, isn't it? Yeah. One of the daily tasks. Which is given to the mashallah the and subhanAllah is beautiful, isn't it? Given by Amir Ahl Sunnat Damat Barakatum Al Aliyah. And remember, he always mentions, and this is something which I don't know. I love mentioning that. You know, whenever we mention Amir Ahl Sunnat, we always think of Ala Hazrat. You know, Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Rida Khan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the great Imam, the known as the Imam of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Just a reminder for you, please never forget these names. One, Amir Ahl Sunnah is not a name. Maulana Ilyas Attar Qadiri, Damat Barakatum Al Aliyah. And also, Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Rida Khan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Let's move to our next segment, which is a daily hadith. But before that, don't forget, we did have a picture. I'm going to be taking your views on this, inshallah, very soon. But first, let's move to our next segment, which is a daily hadith. For this, mashallah, we have Abu Abdullah Bai. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah azza wa jal, today we will be listening to a very beautiful hadith in regards to the perfection of akhlaq. It is narrated on the authority of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala an. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, من حسن الإسلام المرء تركه ما لا يعنيه. That Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, part of the perfection of a person's faith is leaving alone what does not concern him. Dear viewers of Madani channel, the main concept behind this hadith is to set a standard of good manners and behavior leading us to the perfection of akhlaq. This beautiful hadith reminds us that life is too short, therefore we will be in harm by indulging ourselves in those actions which do not benefit us in the hereafter. This hadith also pushes us to focus only on those things that will benefit us in this dunya and in the hereafter as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly allow us to value our time in this dunya and implement this hadith into our lives. Ameen, bijahi Nabi al-Ameen. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, beautiful hadith goes perfectly with our topic, doesn't it? Min husni islam al-mar'i, tarkuhu ma la ya'ni.
SubhanAllah.
It is from the beauty of one's Islam for him to leave those things which do not concern him. And this is exactly what we're talking about, you know. If something does not concern him, just leave it. Now put it to a side. Why? You've got better things to do. You've got better things to use your time with. And this is the same thing we should be also implementing, you know, or embedding within the minds of our children also. Why? Because as, you know, as mothers, you know, as our sisters are bringing up their children, you need to have them, you know, on the one hand, manage their time from child. Do you know if a person does it from childhood, it makes things easier as it grows up, doesn't it?
Definitely.
Now, if you're going to keep them busy, you know, within the world by watching TV, because, you know, we've got so much work to do, you know, we've got so much to do, so let's just give our children the iPad. Let's give them, people, you know, give them the phones and whatnot. Why? To keep them busy. You don't want them to be busy in these things. Yes, you are busy. So you're keeping them busy, but what are you keeping them busy in? This is what we need to understand. What are you keeping them busy in? What, watching the TV? You know, watching the iPad? That's what they're going to learn from. And then when you be telling them things, they will not listen and they will not learn from yourselves. So this is really important, my dear brothers and viewers of Madin channel out there. Those who are spending time with their children, etc. You know, the upbringing of your children. Don't allow your you know, the children to be brought up by devices. Don't allow them to be brought up by technology. No, it is your duty to be bringing up your children and to bring them up in accordance to the Sharia. SubhanAllah, my dear brothers, as you know, there is a picture which is already displayed upon the screen. Now, this picture, what does it show, Ammar bhai? Should we take something? In fact, let's go to you first. Go on, you tell us, Ammar bhai.
So, I think the paintings, and then what's behind the paintings. My take on it is, what's behind the paintings sort of represents problems. And the paintings we do to kind of cover up our problems. So in our life, when we start to cover up the problems and don't face them, so what's happening behind there, the pollution is just going to continue to increase and get stronger.
Yeah.
And even if we delude ourselves by just covering it up, eventually we're going to have to face it. And I think this is what we do with our problems that come up in life. A lot of the times we kind of just try to ignore them and cover them up. But what we don't realize is that one point or the other, we're going to have to go across and just face that problem.
Allah.
So by that time, the problem might be too big. And it might be actually, even if you are to handle it, it'll take a lot more energy to actually handle it. So when there's a problem, you know, admitting to that problem and handling it there and then is the best solution.
It's like a fire, isn't it? A fire is a problem. If you're going to deal with the fire straight away, you're going to, you know, get out the fire extinguisher.
Exactly.
And, you know, or at the base, shoot it at the base, then immediately it's going to what?
Yeah, and on the other hand, if there was a fire in a building and the person...
Whereas if you think,
not,
oh, you know, let's close the door,
yeah,
then you think that fire is going to stay there. No, it's going to come into your house and it's going to... what is going to do? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from this. But mashallah, that's a brilliant point, that, isn't it, Ammar bhai? You know, covering things
problems
up. That's brilliant. What else is that?
So then,
that which is a bit more apparent, but you said there's a few angles, so let's listen to your few angles.
So even with regards to the way the picture is behind there, and then in front, you kind of put in these paintings, this could in one sense also show our current media. You know, so this shows where do we take information from, because there's a big problem happening there, but what you're being shown on TV is what, just the greener side. And that happens a lot, because...
Sorry, can you just repeat that again? I didn't really quite...
So I was saying, like, what's happening behind there,
right,
that's the actual reality.
Okay.
But the media could put the greenery in front and portray it like that.
Okay,
and
right.
This,
so you're associating these to be screens,
yes,
some sort of screen.
So this actually...
Right.
This sort of brings up a society in a particular way.
Okay.
And the people... somebody who controls the media then controls the opinion of the masses. Because they've been showing them what they wanted throughout the whole life. This is a very important thing to keep in mind for us, like particularly, alhamdulillah, you know, us Muslims, that when we go and we seek knowledge, and particularly our religious knowledge, we need to seek it from the right sources. And then, even from a religious point of view, you could look at that as giving you a part of something. So what you're shown there is, if we look at it right there and then as the picture is, then we're only being shown a part of the problem, not the entire problem. And this is where, from a religious point of view, somebody could misquote a verse or misquote a hadith,
right,
and give you a part of it and a portion
How
of it.
How are you saying they're showing a part of it?
I'm saying if we look at the picture as it is right now, because we don't have the paintings fully up, so we have half the problem
visible.
You
see, but what they're trying to show is that they are going to put more...
Yeah, but I'm saying if we look at it as it is right now, so then...
I understand what you mean. Yeah, good.
So if somebody mentions a part of a hadith or a part of an ayat to us, and then that's taken out of context, that's where problems come. So from a religious point of view, we need to make sure we gather our religious knowledge from a very reliable source.
A brilliant point, Ammar bhai, but I think what I'll comment on this is that I don't think we can have a wrong answer.
Yeah, obviously. No, I said that's what I meant, like, depending on how you look at it and what you
link it to. No, mashallah, brilliant. Jazakallah khairah. That was, mashallah, a brilliant analysis by our Ammar bhai. Right, Ammar bhai, we have approximately 3 minutes left. You know, I think that's enough of the picture, isn't it? Mashallah, you've said enough on it. 3 minutes, what message do you want to leave the viewers of Madhi Channel for today? you know, summa for today especially? What should they do today?
I think first thing is, like we've spoken about, not having enough good activities to do. So first thing is, have a good look over your day and see where could I bring in good activities, and particularly religious activities that I can dedicate my time to. And at the very least, because normally when we hear things like this, we might be motivated, then we go and we don't have a clue about what to do. So at the very least, I think, you know, let's try to integrate the five salah, our daily five salah, into our own life. And then design our schedule around that. So it's not that we fit those into our timetable, but we design our timetable around our salah. So the salah is already there by default.
Allah, subhanAllah. In fact, I remember one person was actually telling me this, that, you know, he started, mashallah, reading his salah. And he says that, you know, what I've understood is, if you are to arrange things, you know, between your prayers, it makes it easier for you to arrange the entire day. Allah, and you become more productive throughout the entire day. So I think that could be today's lesson, my dear brothers. Yes, we are talking about time management, but what is a brilliant way, you know, is it has really been given to us. The five daily salah each have their own time. You know, pray your five daily salah, not that pray them on time, but make sure your day evolves around the five daily salah. Ensure your day evolves around the five daily salah. So if you're thinking, you know, you need to do, for example, one particular task, then think to yourself, okay, salah time is, you know, this is the salah time at 5 p.m. You know, I need to pray this salah, so then this task we could have at 5:15. So this is one brilliant way of managing your time. We do not have long left, my dear son and brothers. Remember, the name of the program is Rise and Shine. This program takes place every Monday to Friday. Don't forget, yes, Rise and Shine. How? By reciting durood upon the greatest of mankind. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise and shine. And the sun will rise and shine.